Chapter 3. When Hardin denied owning the journal, he was perhaps technically correct, but no more. Hardin had been the leading spirit in the drive to incorporate Terminus into an autonomous municipality. He had been elected its first mayor, so it was not surprising that, though not a single share of journal stock was in his name, some 60% was controlled by him in more devious fashions. There were ways. Consequently, when Hardin began suggesting to Perrin that he be allowed to attend meetings of the Board of Trustees, it was not quite coincidence that the journal began a similar campaign. And the first mass meeting in the history of the Foundation was held, demanding representation of the city in the national government. And eventually, Perrin capitulated with ill grace. Hardin, as he sat at the foot of the table, speculated idly as to just what it was that made physical scientists such poor administrators. It might be merely that they were too used to inflexible fact and far too unused to pliable people. In any case, there was Thomas Sutt and George Farah on his left, London Crast and Yate Fulham on his right, with Perrin himself presiding. He knew them all, of course, but they seemed to have put on an extra special bit of pomposity for the occasion. Hardin half-dozed through the initial formalities and then perked up when Perrin sipped at the glass of water before him by way of preparation and said, "I find it very gratifying to be able to inform the board that since our last meeting, I have received word that Lord Dorwin, Chancellor of the Empire, will arrive at Terminus in 2 weeks. It may be taken for granted that our relations with Anacreon will be smoothed out to our complete satisfaction as soon as the Emperor is informed of the situation." He smiled and addressed Hardin across the length of the table. "Information to this effect has been given the journal." Hardin snickered below his breath. It seemed evident that Perrin's desire to strut this information before him had been one reason for his admission into the sacrosanctum. He said evenly, leaving vague expressions out of account, "What do you expect Lord Dorwin to do?" Thomas Sutt replied. He had a bad habit of addressing one in the third person when in his more stately moods. "It is quite evident," he observed, "that Mayor Hardin is a professional cynic. He can scarcely fail to realize that the Emperor would be most unlikely to allow his personal rights to be infringed. Why? What would he do in case they were?" There was an annoyed stir. Perrin said, "You are out of order," and as an afterthought, "and are making what are near treasonable statements besides." "Am I to consider myself answered?" "Yes. If you have nothing further to say, don't jump to conclusions. I'd like to ask a question. Besides this stroke of diplomacy, which may or may not prove to mean anything, has anything concrete been done to meet the Anacreonic menace?"